Did I say Esther chapter 6?
Esther chapter 6.
Lord, how we thank you for this day. Now we thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way, Lord. God, help us to navigate. It seems like every day gets a bit darker and dimmer in the world, Lord, but thank you for your word. It lights the way. It lights our heart. It gives us joy. And we thank you, Lord. So speak to us now through your word, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, fallen, decaying world. We need your word today more than ever.
Yes.
And so we thank you for your word, Lord. It teaches us how to act, how to live, Lord, how to think, how to love. And we bless you for it. Speak to our hearts now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Esther chapter 6, I'll read verses 1 through 3. It says, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. Amen. So as we review quickly, we determine that if you don't have it already underlined in your notes or in your Bible on that night, that God only needs one night to turn your life around. Amen?
Amen.
God only needs one night to change your circumstances. And the good thing about it is you don't even have to be there and you don't even have to be awake. Amen. It's like that gif that we get when you get that raffle ticket and it says winner. Need to be present to receive the prize. Amen. God's not like that. God said, you don't even have to be awake. You don't even have to be there for me to turn your situation around in one night.
Amen.
It also shows us, as we read, that everything that you and I do counts and is being recorded in the book. We read in Revelations chapter 20 how there are books that are written in. There's also the book of life that we definitely want our name to be in, but everything that you and I do counts. God sees everything, good, bad, or ugly. That's the good news. The things that you've done that nobody knows about, the good, great things, that's between you and God. God sees that. Oh, that's the bad news, too. The things that you've done that you don't want anybody to find out, that you hope never come to light. God knows about that, too. That's why when we stand before God, we'll be without excuse. It'll be us and God, you and I, you and God, me and God, you and God only. What do you say? You can fool a fool, you can con a con, but you cannot mock God. God will not be mocked. God knows everything. Amen.
Amen.
So we also found out that Haman is out to kill Mordecai. He had just made up his mind and determined that he's going to kill Mordecai, but the king couldn't sleep that night. God didn't allow him to sleep. The king saw where Mordecai had saved his life, and nothing's ever been done to honor him. So then we pick up the story in verse 4. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Wow. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. Now, we already made note that in verse 4 that Haman was on the outer court. In verse 5, Esther, verse 5 and 2, Esther was in the inner court. And it's a difference of verse 5, chapter 5 and 1. Esther was in the inner court. Haman's in the outer court. Haman, Esther had a relationship with God. Haman didn't. You cannot get into the inner court of God if you don't have a relationship with God. You'll always be on the outside looking in, trying to figure out what's happening. Verse 5, and the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court, and the king said, let him in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him. So Haman's coming in to tell him, I want to kill Mordecai, and the king is ready to ask him to honor Mordecai. So before Haman could say, I want to, Haman said, let me ask you, king said, let me ask you a question. Before you say anything, let me ask you a question. Verse 6, so Haman came in, and the king said, and what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than myself? We already talked about this guy, Haman. He's narcissistic. He's selfish. He's arrogant. He only thinks about himself. He didn't even see it coming. Who else would get the promotion but me? Who else would be promoted and honored except for me? And it's something that could have slipped by, but I want to highlight it. Look what Haman did. Haman thought in his heart. See, you and I, we can't answer based upon what's in our heart. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. That's the last thing you need to do, is answer by what's in your heart. Unless you have Christ in your heart, then you can answer according to love, which is true love, not lust. All right, let me try to unpack this just a little bit to make it plainer. Look at, where are we at? Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah 2 and verse 4. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so the king is talking to Nehemiah. The king, as we just saw, talked to Haman. Notice the difference. Then the king said unto me, for what do you make your request? So the king's asking him a question, and look what Nehemiah does. So I pray to the God of heaven. Before he answered, because he had a relationship with God, he was able to pray according to the Spirit of God, as opposed to his own heart. Now back to Esther. Verse 6. Now Haman thought in his heart. You say, what's the problem with the heart? Well, it's, if your heart's not in the right place, if Christ doesn't have your heart, then all you can do is answer according to the flesh. And that always leads you down the wrong road. The word says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your path. The only time it's okay to answer to you according to your heart is when Christ is in your heart. If you don't have Christ in your heart, then all you can do is answer according to your flesh, like Haman did. And we're going to see how that worked out for him. All right, but let me unpack it just a little bit more. Turn with me to Jeremiah. In case you want to know why you shouldn't answer according to the heart, turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. And by the way, you shouldn't give your heart to nobody but Jesus Christ. We good this morning? By the way, you shouldn't give your heart to no one but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even in Ephesians, he tells the husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He didn't say love them with all your heart. He said you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Your wife shouldn't have your heart. You cut my mic on this morning? Your husband shouldn't have your heart. God should have your heart.
Amen.
Because, see, then you can love them the way that God has called us to love each other. What did Jesus Christ say? I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. We don't even know how to love until Christ has our heart. Now we can lust after somebody, but see, here's the difference. Lust wants to take and lust wants to get. Love wants to give. See, that's why a guy can tell a girl, what a girl is asking. If you love me, I'll do it. If you tell me you love me, I'll do it. I knew my mic was going to go silent around this time. And he doesn't love her. He lusts her. And then she gets pregnant. He leaves her and he's with somebody else telling the same lie. See, because, all right, let me unpack it a little bit more. I told you to go to Jeremiah. Let's go to, keep your finger on Jeremiah and go to 1 Corinthians 13. Because love isn't going to take from you. Love is going to give to you. So you can't answer according to your heart unless Christ has your heart. And then in your heart, you have a new commandment that says, I will love you as Christ has loved me. To the point where I lay down my life for you. 1 Corinthians 13. So, ladies and gentlemen, when the guy says, I love you, especially my youth, because these jokers out here, boy, are ridiculous. 13 and 4. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. You there, Natalie? Thank you. It says, love suffers long. Long enough to wait for you to put a ring on your finger to marry you before he wants to sleep with you. That's a long time. And if that joker is lusting after you, you tell him to bounce. Because that's not love. Because love suffers long and is kind. It's not envy. It's not arrogant. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It's just not out to get its own. It's not easily provoked. And it doesn't think any evil. There you go right there. I don't know who's dating and who's not, but just go through the list. And you can tell if you got a winner or a loser. You can tell if you got a hero or a zero right there. I mean, it's all written in the word. All right, let's go back to Jeremiah. Don't give anybody your heart. You give Christ your heart. You learn how to love. You learn how to do it right. So you get the results that you want. And as we're reading this, I want you to think about Haman. In Esther 5, Haman was bragging about all the stuff he had. And how he was his promotion and everything. And look at Jeremiah 17 and 5. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Thus says the Lord. Underline it. This is what the Lord is saying. This is the scripture. That's why they want to say this Bible is outdated, that it's irrelevant in today's culture, because they don't want to hear this kind of stuff. They don't want to be held accountable by a higher standard, which is God's standard. I would say this thing is irrelevant, too. We don't need it. Whatever you feel like doing, doing it. Whatever you want to do, do it. This thing is old. Why? Because of verse 5. Thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in his strength and who makes flesh his arm and whose heart departed from the Lord. Underline that. So God is saying whoever's not walking with him, whoever's not trusting with him, trusting in him, is cursed. That's the word. Now you know why you need to give God your heart. You don't want to walk around with the curse. Why am I always spinning my wheels? Why does it seem like I can't get any traction in life? Because you haven't given God 100% of your heart. And we talk about it all the time. Until you give God 100% of your heart, you'll never know what he can do in your life. Because you haven't given him 100%. Pastor, I went to the gym for 2 weeks. It doesn't work. That's right. Nothing works for 2 weeks. You cannot go to church for 2 weeks and then say God doesn't work. And nothing works for 2 weeks. It's a process over time. You have to give God 100% every day. And when you fall short, you pick yourself up and give him 100% every day. That has to be my mentality, your mentality, our mentality. I'm giving God 100% every day despite the ups and downs of life. So in verse 6, he talks about the man who does not have God in his heart. He says, for he shall be like the shrub in the desert. And you already know you're in bad shape if you're a shrub in the desert. And shall not see when good comes. You can't even recognize what's good and what's evil. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. You're going to be empty. You're going to be desolate. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be down because you haven't trusted in God. Verse 7, blesses a man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Underline that. We can go home. That's it. I mean, the word is plain and simple. If you want to be blessed, trust God. How does that look? It looks like you trying to have a relationship with God every day. You're fasting, you're praying, you're seeking God, you're fellowshipping, you're reading the word. I'm trying my best to learn how to trust in the Lord and make God my hope. Not stuff, not a man, not a woman, not a thing, not a church, but God is my hope. Yes. Yes. Talks about the benefits in verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that springeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You're always going to be plentiful and bountiful as you trust in God. Doesn't mean you're necessarily going to have things, but you will have the joy that passes all understanding. He says, even in the year of drought, you're not worried about anything because you know that God provides. See, it said the drought comes, the heat comes, it still comes, but the difference is I'm trusting in God and not myself. Amen. And then verse 9 looks like Jeremiah just says, oh, by the way, as he's having this conversation and he's listing Judah's sins, he said, oh, by the way, verse 9, let me make one thing clear. The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Worst thing you can do is say, well, you know, I'm going to just follow my heart. Are you kidding me? Do you know what your heart really is? It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You don't even know it. You don't even know. And that desperately wicked says it's incurably sick. Boy, our heart is jacked up. And that's why when Haman is answering according to his heart, he's answering to his incurably sick, desperate heart, and it's deceitful. That's a problem. It's a problem. That's why you don't give your heart to anybody but Christ. You're going to mess something up because your heart is already jacked up. I mean, what can you do about it? That's just what it is. Verse 10, he says, I, the Lord, God speaking, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. The reins right there in the Hebrew, it means the mind. God said, I'm testing your mind. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Wow. God's testing your mind right now. Think about it. Just stop and pause. Everything that you and I are going through right now, God said, I'm testing your mind. You're not going to go crazy unless you don't have a relationship with me. But if you do, I'm just testing your mind. I'm seeing where you really stand. Where is your heart really at? Are you trusting in yourself or are you trusting in God? That's all. Yeah, I'm testing your mind. Verse 11, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days and at the end shall be a fool. God didn't say he had a problem with you getting stuff. He said if you don't get them the right way. God doesn't have a problem with us getting things. He said, don't be a fool as you're going through the process. Amen? Amen. So, all right, here we go. Let's go back to Haman. And he's answering according to his heart. So it kind of puts him in the category of a fool. It's his choice. He wants to do it big, too. As he describes all this, he's thinking about himself. How arrogant can you be? Because he's imagining all this. There's no humility in his life at all. Verse 7. So remember, he's answering according to his heart. What's in my heart? What's in your heart? We talked about three things. Esther prayed and fasted. We talked about the first thing she received was favor of God. Then she received authority. And then number three was a that night experience. And then here's number four. God is preparing someone to honor you. And it could be your enemy. Right here is her enemy. Is Mordecai's enemy. God will use your enemies to promote you. That's number four. Eight things that happened after she fasted and prayed. Number four, God used her enemy to promote her. And you upset with your enemy, let God fight your battle. You stressed out, you're not sleeping. God said, go to sleep. I only need one night to change this thing around. Why are we stressed out? If we truly believe this, why are we stressed out about this stuff? If God's word is really true, why do I worry about so much stuff? Why is it I can't sleep at night? If I truly believe that God will fight my battles and has everything covered, why am I upset with my boss? God could use my boss to promote me if I just be quiet and get out the way and let God work. God said, I'm trying to work, but you keep getting in the way. You keep talking too much. You keep showing up when you need to be quiet and not seen. All right. Before we finish this, let's go to Genesis. Genesis 50. You got to see the hand of God at work. Remember, in the book of Esther, God is not mentioned once. But he's working all behind the scenes. Allow God to work behind the scenes in your life. And you all know the story. Joseph, one of the greatest stories ever told. His brothers hated him because his father favored him. And, you know, fathers, we shouldn't play favorites with our kids. Although, you know, I love all my kids equally. Amen. Just want to put that out there. All right. So just want to put that out there. So y'all don't. So, but Jacob favored Joseph and his brothers hated him for that. Sold him into slavery. First they were going to kill him. Then they decided just sell him into slavery. Went back and told his dad that a wild animal killed him. So we fast forward all the way to the end where the dad dies. And we know Joseph rises to second in command behind Pharaoh. Genesis 50:15. You there, say amen. If you're not, say hold up. All right, all right. You need to see this. I'll wait for you. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will perhaps hate us and will certainly require us or pay us back for all the evil which we did unto him. They sent a messenger unto Joseph saying that your father did command you before he died, saying, so you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, the trespasses of thy brothers and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spoke unto him because they didn't get it. But Joseph tells them in verse 9, verse 18, and his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. They still don't get it. And Joseph said, stop tripping. Basically, in our vernacular, that's what he said. What are you guys tripping? He says, and verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. Despite everything you tried to do to me, you lied, you tried to kill me, you sold me, and I went to jail, I went to prison, I didn't even do it, I was messed up for 13 years. But look, I'm in the place of God through all that. So this is what God is saying. Stop tripping on people. Stop tripping on people and start trusting God. And your testimony would be like Joseph. And he said, am I not in the place of God? Verse 20, but as for you, you thought evil against me. You plotted against me. You tried to take me out. But God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Underline, highlight, put a star by it, that scripture. Because if you truly believe that, then you really need to start praying for anybody who's wronged you. You need to start praying for your boss, whether it's your parents, whether it's your kids, whether it's the neighbor, whether it's a brother or a sister, you need to forgive them right now. So that God can elevate you to the place of God and not a place of bitterness. Verse 21. Now, therefore, stop tripping. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly unto them. Somebody going to go in on to work tomorrow. You're going to speak kindly to your boss tomorrow. They're not going to understand it, but you're going to know that you're in the place of God. And if you are the boss, you're going to speak kindly to your employees. Amen. Because those of us who have been the boss, there are some employees that we just don't like. Somebody say amen. Hey, and Lenora, I know she's a teacher. I remember when I taught elementary school. And you know, you have them all day for 10 months. In September, it's all good. But by December, little Clifton, I hated little Clifton. God tested me every day when little Clifton walked into class. God. So as you the boss, you got to forgive because you're in the place of God as well. When you're the teacher, you got to forgive those students. Amen. Oh, my gosh. It's almost 30 years ago. I have not forgot little Clifton. Amen. If I seem now, little Clifton, am I not in the place of God? Despite what you did, you tried to wreck me, but am I not in the place of God? Verse 22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt. He and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's go back to Esther. Esther chapter 6. So God is preparing someone right now. They think that they're out to get you. They think that they got something coming. But God's preparing them to bless you. And all you have to do is stay out of the way and trust God. I can't put any more plain than that. You got to stay out of the way and trust God. Or you get in the way and keep spinning your wheels and keep living a life of frustration. And then you blame God in a weird way where God is saying, I'm waiting on you to get out of the way. And you trying to say, God, I'm waiting on you. And God say, okay, do your thing. Keep doing your thing. How's it work for you so far? Amen. So here's Haman. He's all into himself. Verse 7. And Haman answered the king for the man whom the... And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel, the clothes that the king has worn, be brought, which the king used to wear, and the horse that the king rided upon, and the crown royal. Okay, let me stop right there, because some of you went somewhere you shouldn't have went with the crown royal. Okay? You got that purple bag with the gold stitching. You still got the crown royal. That's not what he's talking about here. That's not the crown royal. It's not what he's talking about. You still use it as a shaving kit or keep your rollers in it or whatever you do with it. Get rid of that crown royal. That's not the crown royal he's talking about. Okay? Amen. Kathy, I got to make it plain because I know who I'm dealing with. Verse 8, let the apparel he brought, which the king used to wear, and the horse that the king rides on, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. He's talking about the horse's head. And let the apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighted to honor. Haman is like, dude, I'm going to be decked out. I'm going to be rolling through the city. Somebody's going to be blasting that I'm being honored. And bring him on horseback through the street and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. king said, verse 10, then the king said unto Haman, you know, I kind of like that. Hurry up, make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fall of all that thou hast spoken. Everything you just said, man, I want you to go, man, and do that for Mordecai, because you're one of my most trusted servants. Go do it for Mordecai. God's preparing someone to honor you right now. Look how Mordecai went from being hanged now to being honored. And from the gallows to the king's glory. Just in one night, God turned the situation around in one night. But look also, something we might have missed as well, we just could have went by. Where was Mordecai at? He was in the king's gate. The king knew exactly where he was. So here's the question. If God wanted to honor you and I, would he be able to find us? Let me see. I wrote it down. Let me see. Yes. Would he be able to find us? Okay, so let's play a quick game. It's called fill in the blank. God was looking for me, but I was at the with the doing. There you go. Game over. God's looking to honor you and I, but he can't even find us because we're out of position. Would he be able to know exactly where we would be at to be honored? Amen. Or would we be way out doing our own thing? And as often the case, miss what God has for us. And see, make a note also in verse 10. Despite all that Haman was trying to do, it really only matters what the king says about you. The king said, I want to honor you. Somebody wants to kill you, wants to destroy you, wants to lie on you and gossip and all this other kind of stuff, wants to fire you. It doesn't even matter. It only matters what the king says about you. Stop worrying about what people are saying and what they're doing. It really only matters what the king says about you. Verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse. Then he had to dress Mordecai and brought him on the horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him. Haman had to scream out. Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. But look at verse 12. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. Are you kidding me? You mean it didn't go to your head that you just got pranced around in the king's clothes? And was finally, you've been sitting at the king's gate all that time, and now you get your 5-15 minutes of fame, and you go right back to the presence of God? You mean it didn't go to your head? You mean you understand that money is the tool and not the assignment? He knew the difference. I mean, think about it. What would you and I have done? Oh, man, I'm going to milk this. I finally got, man, let me go talk to the king and see if I can get me a position now. I've been sitting there too long anyway. I was getting tired of sitting there. You mean the king recognized me like, because remember, I did save his life. Maybe instead of sitting at the gate, maybe I can get into the house. Maybe he can give me a position. Mordecai, verse 12. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. He didn't let the money or the fame or the fortune go to his head. I did research on the, it's like he hit the spiritual lottery. Really, he did. And so I did research on the lottery of the lottery winners. And you already know the story. They're worse off today than they were before they hit the lottery. Yeah. Majority of them are. Money's the tool, it's not the assignment. And if you think that you need something to be something, then you're already thinking wrong. It was one guy was reading, he said he wish he would have tore, as soon as he heard he won, he said he wish he would have tore that ticket up. It took him from 1 month to a few years to have nothing. In between a month, the quickest I saw was a month, was done. And the other one I saw was about 4 years, and everything in between that, they did about 10 of them. Guy said, I wish I would have tore that thing up. Ain't that something? And he had won like millions. Gosh, I don't know about that toy. I was like, man, I don't know. I wouldn't have. I'd like to have that problem, amen. But if you get the tool and the assignment mixed up, you'll get that, and all you do is self-destruct. We've seen it in society all too often. And I used to have I was assistant principal at Hamilton Middle School. I used to have a custodian, and he would say, you know, money only makes you more of what you are. If you're an idiot, you'll just be an idiot with money. If you're a fool, you'll be a fool with money. If you're a drunk, you'll be a drunk with money. He said, it only makes you more of what you are. That's why we need to give God our heart, because stuff outside of God will never make us happy. Verse 12, and Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman quickened, hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. Wow. In 4, Esther 5 and 9, then went Haman forth that day joyful with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, he stood not up nor moved for him. He was full with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Now we fast forward to verse 12 again. And Mordecai came again to the king's presence, but Haman quickly went to his house, mourning and having his head covered. What a difference a night makes. And you and I, we will have our head covered either with humility or shame. It's only two options. You will have your head's covered. It's sitting here today and standing here, your head's covered with one of them, either humility or shame. Or let me say, the shame hasn't come yet. Humility or pride. Shame will come later, or the honor will come later. Proverbs said, before honor, there's humility. Haman got himself caught up in something because he thought he was more than he was, and he didn't need God. And you know what? You don't want to miss what's going to happen next week. Amen. It only gets better for those of us that are trusting in God. Amen. Don't give up. Don't you try and predict your life by your current situation. You can't do it. Don't you dare give up on yourself and give up on God based upon where you are now. So much to life that we haven't even seen as we walk with God. Amen. Let us pray, and then we'll go ahead and dismiss. If you would, bow your heads quickly. Maybe it's someone here and they're saying, Pastor, my first step is to, as I look in my heart, Jesus Christ isn't in my heart. So my first step is to accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So maybe you're here and you haven't even accepted Christ. Scriptures say in Romans 10:9-10, if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we shall be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we got to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Maybe you say, Pastor, I haven't even believed. I don't know. I don't know if I'm saved. I hope I'm saved, but I don't know. Well, you don't have to guess. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want to take that first step and accept Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I got all this junk in my heart. I need to clear it out so to make room for God. I need to rededicate this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you saying, Pastor, I just need a church home and just need a place where I can settle in and not just be a member, but be a part of a family. Maybe from the worship to the word, you felt the presence of God here. You'd like to join with us. If that's you, elevate your hand this morning. If you have any of the three prayer requests, you'd like to be saved because you're not sure, or you want to rededicate your life, or you want to join church, maybe that's you. Go and elevate your hand. I'm going to ask Brother Robert to come up. I see your hand, Brother Robert. Come on up. I'd like to pray with you right now. It's pretty awesome, man, that God led you here this morning. How old are you, brother?
23 next month.
23 next month. Amen. You're at the right age, brother. Let me have your hands. I'm asking the men to come up. Because this is how we do it. Let me have both of them. Are you coming up, Robert, for rededication or salvation or membership?
Rededication.
Rededication. You've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Amen, brother. It's excellent. And if you just notice, you got a group of strong men surrounding you, brother, and that's how we do it.
Yeah, I feel it.
Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Robert, Lord, as your word tells us to come just as you are.
Yes. Amen.
You love us so much, Lord, you would take us as we are, and then you died for us and set us free, Lord, so you can take us where you want us to be in you. Thank you for our brother Robert, Lord, who you led in here this morning and put on his heart he needs to be at church, and he came here to South Bay Abundant Life, Lord, and responded to the call for rededication. We thank you, Lord, that your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven him, Lord, as he confessed, Lord. Your word says don't cover our sins or we shall not prosper, but he that confess and forsake. So we're praying for his life, Lord.
Yeah, that's
the 22 years you've allowed him to be here as he turns 23 next month, Lord. We're praying for all the great things that you're going to do as he walks with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for covering him and keeping him, Lord. And thank you for allowing us to share this special moment with him as men, Lord, to say, march on, young brother, stand strong. We've all been at 23, and we can tell you as you walk with God, it gets better. The ups and downs, they continue to come, but it gets better with God. So we encourage our young brother. We cover him. We pray for him, his family, his friends, his hopes, his dreams, his job, his business, his school. Praying for his heart, Lord, that he keeps you in his heart, that he gives you 100% so he can see all that you can do for him. We thank you for this special moment, this special day that you set aside for Robert and allowed all us to be witnesses of. We love you, Lord. We thank you. There's none like you and nothing too hard for you to do. We bless you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 All right, Brother Robert, if you would stand to your feet. Big C, get his information too. Get it. Get everything. Friends and family, We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us today. And for those of you who hadn't been here in a while, you notice the time change. We start at 9 and we finish at 10:30 as opposed to 9:30 to 11. So make a note of it. Please come back and visit with us anytime. God is awesome.
Yes, he is.
God is awesome. Trust in him like never before. Let him lead you like never before. Give him 100%. Give someone a hug as you are dismissed. God bless you.